Awesome. Well, hello, spiritual family in Tauranga. If you have a Bible, please turn to Romans 1. If you have my slides, put them on. I want to read from Romans 1, verse 8. And I say with Paul, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. Why am I saying that? Well, let me tell you something. So every time I go across the globe, I was in Europe last month and before that in Canada and elsewhere, I say my name is Ahmed. I was born in Saudi Arabia and I was born again in New Zealand. So people everywhere associate New Zealand with powerful prayers. You reckon the Ministry of Tourism in New Zealand should pay me royalties, right? The house that I grew up in Saudi Arabia, was an extremist in Islam. It does not apply on Muslims everywhere, especially here in New Zealand. Most Muslims are peaceful. Last night when I preached, a Muslim was in the room. And afterward, he came in and he's like, to Brian, I would like to talk to you more when I meet Jesus and I give my life to him, to which heaven he will admit me in. They're so peaceful because where I came from, Muslims will never come to a church. In fact, where I came from, there are no churches. There are no buildings like this. Next slide, please. Why am I here standing on the stage speaking to you today? I'd rather be living a quiet, peaceful life because I'm an introvert. I currently reside in Orlando, Florida. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, Tom Jerry is not far away from me. But that would be selfish of me to keep to myself what the Lord has done in my life. I am here to declare to you and to the whole world what he has done. Next. Thank you. Yes. So I'm from Saudi Arabia. If you don't know geography, it's somewhere in the Middle East. It's okay. And there's a little town here called Mecca, Saudi Arabia, where 2 billion Muslims everywhere, they bow down 5 times a day toward that place. And every single day, I see people from every single where, while I was living there, they're coming to my hometown, they do pilgrimage, and then they go back to all those nations. Did you hear the number? 2 billion people. Next. When I speak, the mental image about Saudi Arabia, people think that we are nomads and we have camels, right? Tents and in the sand. Well, that's partially true. But actually, next slide. Actually, we have camels that's faster than your car. So this is Saudi Arabia today. This is actually Mecca. It has the highest clock tower in the world. And all those people that you see in the picture, they're from everywhere coming to Mecca seeking the forgiveness of their sins. Do you know how many nations in the world today? More than 200. Next. There's a misconception about the people of Islam. Every person that I meet, they think that we are descendants of Ishmael. And let me prove you wrong. My name is Ahmed Joktan, and Joktan is son of Eber, son of Shem, son of Noah. It's not in the line of Abraham. Next. Before 2019, where I came from, it is illegal to be a Christian. The punishment for being a follower of Jesus is death. And it's death by the sword. They will cut your head, sever that from your body in front of all people. The Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia, at that time, he wanted to destroy all churches in Saudi Arabia. So if there was a church like this in Saudi Arabia, he wanted to demolish that. What is a mufti? Grand Mufti is someone who is just like the Pope. And we have also little Muftis like the Cardinals. Also, we have a special branch of police. We have religious police. So if you are not practicing the tenets of Islam, they will come and arrest you and beat you down. Do you get the deep darkness that I grew up in? Next. While studying in school, they don't teach us English because English is a language of infidels and infidelity. Surprise, I'm talking to you today in English, right? I memorized the entire Quran by the age of 13. How many of you have memorized the entire Bible? Allow me to say, shame on you. A man should not live by bread alone, but with every word comes out of the mouth of God. By high school, I wanted to join College of Medicine, and medicine is taught worldwide in English. So I went through my class, and I looked at the screen, and I don't know what ABCD is, or high, or not even 1, 2, 3. So I was thinking to myself, I'm in trouble. I came from a culture that is a culture of shame and honor. So if I fail, I'm going to shame my family, right? What to do? Went to Google and started to copy the pages and paste and translate. And by the end of the year, that was not a life. My whole day is spent on copy, paste, print, and compare. And that was my basic English. So I decided to go to an English-speaking country and the most peaceful country at that time in 2010 was New Zealand, hopefully is. So I arrived here, and after a few weeks, while I was residing in my hotel in Auckland, in my dream, while I was dreaming, I saw the balcony open up and a light shine into the room and a voice saying, come to me. I opened my eyes, and it's like I'm looking into the sun. It was so bright. And I saw the shape of a man that's wearing a robe that is draped in the sunlight, extending his hands to me. So I was scared. I'm like, come where? I'm in my bed. And as I was trying to avoid this bright light, I was looking into the other side of the room, and the voice said, go to the house of the white pillars, and in there you shall find the truth. And as the vision all of a sudden began, it suddenly ended. So I woke up, I went to the balcony, never opened. I went to the wall, I put my hand there, there are no picture, no image. In my culture, we believe in the invisible beings. You know, have you ever heard of Aladdin, the movie? As the blue thing called Genie? Welcome to my culture. So I thought I saw an invisible being. I was dead in my sins. I couldn't see the Lord. So I went down to the receptionist and, you know, in my pajamas, and it's like, oh, I've seen something, an invisible being in my room. I've seen Genie in my room at 2 a.m. She looked at me and she said, sir, have you been drinking? I told her, no, I'm a Muslim. I don't drink. She couldn't believe me. I'm like, give me just, you know, sets of sheets so I can sleep in the lounge. So if this happened to me, you can see it yourself. She looked at me as like, dodgy, whatever, okay. So I called the travel agency and I asked them to ship me back to Saudi Arabia. Plane, ship, I don't care, just take me out of here. I don't want to be here. They told me the next flight will be a week from that time. The morning came, and when you're in trouble, you tend to go to people that you know. And the people that I know in New Zealand are my schoolmates, right? So I went to the school, and the first class was speaking class. And the teacher asked us about anything that we did last night. Timely. So everyone spoke, and some went to the cinema, to the beach, whatever. And my turn came, and nothing in my head but this crazy, weird dream, right? So I stood up, and I talked, and the teacher usually take the notes, right, on the board. And while I was speaking, she did like 180 flip. And she looked at me and she said, you have seen Jesus. And I looked at her. Jesus is not in my English vocabs, okay? I've never heard that in my life. So I looked at her and I'm like, oh, maybe she's trying to tell me another word, you know, for Satan. So I'm like, Satan. She's like, no, holy Jesus. And she slammed the table. I'm like, oh, hold on here. So I'm like, synonym, Satan. She's like, no. She ended the class. She took me to her desk. And I believe that she tried to tell me who Jesus was. But her understanding of my culture and language is nothing. And my understanding of English and her culture and language is nothing. And nothing met by nothing equals nothing. So I went out to the street, not knowing who to turn to, feeling literally that I was abandoned. While I was walking on a different part of the city, I looked on the other side, and I saw the building that I saw in my dream, the house with white pillars. I've never seen that building in my life. And to someone like me who came from a culture with no churches and no understanding, unless we see a cross and a word church, otherwise we would not recognize this as a church. So I looked at this building. It was an old building. And two words on it, Baptist Tabernacle. It's not in my English vocabs. So I'm like, oh, museum. What kind of truth will I find in a museum? And I went inside, and there I met with Brian Johnson. And after 3 days, he led me to the Lord. 2 days ago. we went to his house, and yesterday, right? And he showed me where he actually laid his hand on me and prayed for me to accept the Lord as my Lord and Savior. Then he took me to the airport with a Bible. And if you don't know anything about Saudi Arabia, Bibles are not allowed at that time. I went there, and after a few months, my family discovered that I have a Bible in the most holiest place of all Islam, Mecca. And that was a big shame for them that they have disowned me. Wisdom comes out of trials, right? So nowadays, actually, we encourage the underground believers to have the invisible Bible. I have a sample. It's in the back table. And also, I have a book there that if you want to write a word of encouragement, if the Holy Spirit asks you to go and write there, you will write in the secret ink so we can distribute it to the believers underground. Next. When you come to my city, Mecca, you will see the sign. Have you seen the sign before? Not in New Zealand? Good. So there's a road for Muslims and there's another road for non-Muslims. And while I was spending there in 2 years, I have led to the Lord over 35 Muslims in Mecca itself. Next. I can't go in much more details about the miracles that happened. You'll find those details in the book. But you know that the charge that's bestowed on all of us is go ye and sleep in your house. Right? Good. You're a good Christian. It's go ye and make disciples of all nations. Is that correct? What's two-thirds of God's name? G-O-D, God, G-O, go. So I went out and I shared the gospel to Muslims there and I got myself in trouble. Remember the religious police that I told you about? They were merciless, just like the religious police at Jesus' time. So they came in and they start to beat the heck out of me. Every time I smile, many people tell me, wow, you got a white, shiny teeth. Can you tell me your secret? What toothpaste do you use? And I look at them, I'm like, well, you don't know that blessings sometimes comes out of tears. Those all are implants. Those are all fake teeth. Church, can anything separate you from the love of Christ? Can hide? Can load? No. Can anyone take you from Jesus' hand? Can anyone take you from the Father's hand? Not even brainwash? If you are the type of Thomas, the doubter, come and talk to me. Because they tried to to do brainwashing on me. We have a special center in Saudi Arabia to brainwash people. But that is not effective. And I am here to prove that as well. Next. When you came today to this church, how far a drive did you take? 10 minutes? 20? 1 hour? I used to drive to a church in next door country. And that is 13 hours each way every weekend. And the reason why is because none of the underground churches in Saudi Arabia have welcomed me because I'm a local and they're afraid that they would be caught. I have longed to join a Christian community, and I have, before going there, I have emailed so many Christian organizations around the world. And each one of those organizations would ask me to bring recommendation from your pastor and the church. And I reply in the email, I don't have a church. I'm in Saudi Arabia. And by the grace of God, there was one organization that said, you're welcome. And that is YWAM. And with them, we have visited over 30 countries sharing the gospel on the streets. But do you think it's enough that you drive 13 hours each way every weekend to the church to make the authority just turn the blind eye? No. Next. So I got arrested for going to the church in Dubai. And they told me, listen, you're a troublemaker. Let's make a deal here. We want you to sign this paper that says that you will no longer attend the church and we'll let you go. I'm like, sure. Because the picture that you saw, the church, you know, was in JW Marriott Hotel. It's not in a building. And they heard us on the line, so they wanted to get rid of me. If you walk in the shadows of the Almighty, can any harm come toward you? Can any weapon that is formed against you prosper? Next. While I was driving to the church, they wanted me dead. But they forgot that I am already signed up in a special program called God's Witness Protection Program. I witness for Jesus and he protects me. Next. If you don't believe that the man that's in front of you here is been snatched literally from the jaws of death, and come and you can touch my scars on my face. Many people, when they saw me after the accident, they thought that I was dead. I would be at least crippled. And I told them, no. I told them about my God, a living God that protects those who follow after him. And while I was witnessing to those people, I lost my job as a medical doctor. Next. Those are some of my scars, and one of the pieces of the glass sat on my facial nerve that any time that I would speak, preach, or even smile, it would send a sharp jolt into my brain. It was painful, and God sent me a Christian plastic surgeon, special surgeon, to take that away. He told me that the Lord told him to come and find me and take that away. Next. So after I lost my job, what did I do? Did I sit down and watch Duck Donald? No. I started to share the gospel with anyone who needed. And if you do that, you will be a marked man. And I was marked too. What you see in the picture here is the letter N in Arabic that refers to those who follow Jesus the Nazarene. N. Next. And that was made me easy target. I saw bullets whiz by me. And next. And one of the bullets actually came to the seat just behind me. You see, those people are stupid. They did not read the memo. I told them that I was under God's witness program, but they did not believe me. The Bible that I read said that if you are persecuted in one town, go to the next. So I went to Dubai. And in there, the believers told me that I should actually go to another town because Dubai is not safe for me. So I flew to the safety of New Zealand. This is where I was born again. This is where my spiritual family is. And I went to a very small town in the middle of the North Island called Fielding. How many people know where Fielding is? Oh, wow. So it's not. It is a famous town. Sorry. Take that out. And all of a sudden, two special policemen flew from Auckland, came to the door. And guess what the first question that they asked me? Are you a Christian? I'm not sure, but is it common in New Zealand the police would stop you and ask you about your faith? So we knew that there's something going on. We asked a Christian police commissioner in Wellington, and he told me that he would look into the file and will let me know after 2 weeks. The very next day, he called me and he said, leave the country. I'm like, excuse me? He said, leave the country. This is not safe for you here. And he was right. We went to the airport in Auckland, New Zealand, and I was interrogated for several hours. Brian was there and he saw my ticket. There was a special mark on the ticket. And I told the immigration officers my testimony. Was an opportunity for me to witness to them. They told me that they would honor that I have not broken any law in New Zealand. And they will honor the visa that I have to the United States. But the last word that they told me that I am no longer welcomed in New Zealand because I'm a radical Christian. How many of you are radical Christians in the room? Amen. Hallelujah. That is an honor for me. So I went to the United States, and of course, you know, with blessings come suffering as well. And God moved the heart of two senators, whom one of them hate Christians. And he told me personally that he feel obligated by invisible power to help me. And I'm like, have you not heard about the Holy Spirit, our God that we worship, who lives in us? And I was granted protection in the United States of America. Next. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Some of you here have heard the first part, so they're asking me, what happened since 2017? Well, as I told you, I was not taking advantage of the yearly pass to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. I was not doing that, believe me. Instead, next, I was focused on the call that we received from the Lord Jesus. We created Mecca to Christ, which basically seek to empower those isolated believers across Saudi Arabia and help mobilize believers to come to Mecca and other places where the gospel have never preached before. Right? So my prayer tonight is we'll see a sister church to C3 in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Amen to that? Since 2017, we have mobilized over 15 missionaries to Saudi, and we have now 11 staff. We have baptized more than 600 new believers in that period of time. Next. So those are the pictures of two of my staff, Shireen on the right and Masood on the left. Next. And those are the crew in Saudi Arabia who have been mobilized from different parts of the world. Can you please play the video here? So, if you don't believe me about Christians going to Mecca because you saw that sign, then you don't know what the scripture said about The one who lives in you is greater than the one in the world. There's no place, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, that is limiting you from going in. Right? So if you don't accept my invitation to go to Saudi Arabia, I would like you to meet the missionary who is in Saudi Arabia. And hopefully you'll accept his invitation instead of me.
When you arrived in church, sat down, shook the hand of the person next to you, wished them a happy Sunday. When you sang some songs that just lifted your spirit and you felt the presence of God with you, you heard the messages given by the pastor and were stirred to take the gospel into your community. Did you ever think that on the other side of the planet, on the other side of the Atlantic, exists a place, the epicenter of the epicenter of the epicenter, namely the Kaaba, which is a black cube, 60 feet by 60 feet by 60 feet? The Kaaba is within Mecca, and Mecca is within Saudi Arabia. It is the center, the epicenter of Islam. It's where Islam was birthed. It's where the biggest affront to the cross in history, human history, was birthed. And around that black box, during the time of the Hajj annually, there's about 2 million that fled into this city of Mecca where I'm giving you this message from. It's where you're about to hear Dr. Ahmed, who's one of my best friends in the world. I would die for this brother. It's where he was born. It's where his father still lives. It's where his father almost killed him and his family as an imam. And we together, Dr. Ahmed and myself, are appealing to you, not to everyone here, but just to one person in this congregation, that you will hear our combined voices to say yes. To say yes to take the best news on earth that you're just about to hear from the pulpit, from the comfort of your home there, that this best news is worth it all, is worth taking, whatever that yes looks like. And you know the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey, teaching them to obey, teaching them to obey. And perhaps the greater commission out of Mark 10, which says, whoever leaves wife and children, mother and father, brothers and sisters, lands and properties for the sake of me and the gospel will inherit 100 times as much in this life. Children, mother, father, brothers, sisters, lands, properties, and with them persecutions. In Jesus' name, amen.
See you soon? No? All right, next. Can you please to the next slide? Is the gospel of Jesus worth it? Church. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ worth it? Amen. Amen. So we'll see you in Mecca. You don't want to see amen so you can go there. Well, for 1,400 years, the city of Mecca had been abandoned from the Christian missionaries for unknown reason. Satan has a stronghold down there. And the picture you see today here is the first baptism in the known history in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. And after that, we have baptized 15 more new believers. Next. When I wrote the first manuscripts of the book, English is my second language, as you can tell. I reached out to Christian publishers and I was rejected by them. I did fuss at that time. I was like, Lord, why do you do this to me? Why Christians, they don't accept my book? And the Holy Spirit said to me that, wait and you will see. So I went online and I found the cheapest in price editor that I could find. I did not have much money. And I sent to him the manuscript and an email saying, please let me know how much that will cost. I waited for 2 weeks and no reply. So I sent him another email. Please tell me how much that would cost. This guy was an unbeliever. I copied his name to Google and I looked at his previous writing. And it was against God, against church, against Jesus, against anything that I believe in. So when I clicked send, I waited 5 minutes, and then I saw another email from him. And the reply was, free. I'm like, free what? Christians have rejected me, and you're saying free to me? So I called him, and I asked him, what happened? He said that at the beginning, I was really skeptical about the whole thing, Saudi Arabia, God, Jesus, that's not up my alley. Then he said, I said to myself, let me just take a look. When we wrote the manuscript of the book, we prayed in the name of Jesus that this will open the eyes of the blind. And we prayed that the Holy Spirit will apply all that we prayed for in this book. This editor told me that the Holy Spirit got grabbed of him while he's reading the book. By the end of the manuscript, he fell down on his knees and prayed in repentance to the Lord. He became a believer in Jesus. Next. Jesus said, do unto others as you wish them do unto you. When I was in Saudi Arabia, I wished that other people would pour into me with teaching, with reading the Bible, encourage me in the faith. So we created the Muslim Background Believers Academy, which we teach every day, except Sunday, to 240 committed students online. Those are isolated believers. They don't have church around them, not even near them. Next. One of the burning questions in the Middle East, that is, how can I join the Abrahamic family? Do you know that the Bible already answered that 2,000 years ago? In Galatians 3, verse 6 to 9 and verse 29 says that you can join the Abrahamic family through the promised way. And the promised way is through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? The second reason why we have this book is one of the biggest obstacles to Muslims is that the Bible is corrupt. In fact, when I was with Brian and he showed me the Bible at the beginning, I said, no, I can't read this. It took him 3 days until he showed me the Bible. What if you show your Muslim friend that there's about 7,345 verses that is quoted from the Bible in the Quran? You see, if you tell your Muslim friend that if you claim that the Bible is corrupt, then whatever is built on the Bible is corrupt as well. And if they say that is corrupt, that means the Quran is corrupt, that means they are blaspheming the Quran, which they cannot do that. So this is another way to lead them to read the Word of God. Next. One more thing that I was doing while I'm in the US is being the voice of the voiceless. There are many Christians who have been rounded up because of their faith, just like me. I wished people would come and visit me in jail when I went to jail. I wish that someone would speak on my behalf when I was oppressed. So I heard about the 6 Libyan believers in April last year who've been thrown out in jail and on their way to be beheaded. If you don't recall the history, 7 years ago, 21 Coptic Christians were slaughtered on the same shores in Tripoli, Libya. So I contacted the Voice of the Martyr, the International Christian Concern, on their behalf, saying, please, can you help those brothers and sisters? And guess what reply did I get? Nothing. I prayed. I cried to the Lord. Nothing. And while I was praying, the Holy Spirit is telling me that I have empowered you, that my power is within you, and I am with you. And that prompted me to go and pray in front of the Libyan embassy in Washington, D.C. You know, all of you belong to a denomination called Protestant. We protest. So we went there, and there was only 5 of us. We stood there. The Secret Service, who protect the foreign embassies, came to us, and they said that we thought that you guys will be 1,000 people. There's only 5 of us. So we told the officer, sir, count 1,005, because we have 1,000 angels are praying with us today. We stood there, and we held a flag that have a cross on it, which is this picture. On your left, I think, or right. And we begin to pray. We begin to read the scripture. And all of a sudden, the Libyan ambassador stormed out and began shouting, who gave you the right to be here and pray? Usually, I would tuck away, you know, run away from people of power. He's an ambassador with details, big guns. And I'm here holding a Bible. But then I was reminded that I am also ambassador, just like you. All of us here are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. So I told him, sir, first of all, the Constitution of the United States allow me to do so, called the First Amendment, freedom of speech. The second is we got permit from the police. And third, which is most important, I am also ambassador like you to the kingdom of God. He said, what is this all commotion about? I told him about the 6 Libyan believers. He looked at me and he said, that's not true. We don't treat Christians in Libya like that. I'm like, excuse me, sir. I turned my phone to him and I showed him on YouTube the confessions of those 6 Libyan believers. He couldn't believe that. He looked at me and he said, thank you for letting me know. And he went back inside. We continued to pray. And I don't know about you folks, but I do believe there is power in the name of Jesus. And when we pray in faith, God will answer, especially if that is for his kingdom. 2 weeks after that, all those 6 Libyan believers were released. Not only that, because they've been tortured for so many months and nobody helped them, and all of a sudden they're released, one of them decided to be baptized in a style. That is the guy riding a horse. Next. If you are here today and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would like to invite you to come to Jesus. 14 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ told me to come to him. The scripture that we hold today say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. If you are here today and you're still unsure about your faith in him, I would like to encourage you to come to Jesus. And if you would like to talk to somebody here today, you can talk to Pastor Brian or any of the brothers here who hold to the faith. Next. But if you are here today and you are a born-again believer like me, hopefully born-again New Zealand just like me, then I would like to invite you to mobilize yourself to tell others about who Jesus is. There is a special relationship between God and Christians who pray in New Zealand. Do you know that? Well, if you are in doubt, look at me. I am here because of a prayer. Isn't that a miracle by itself? So I would like to ask from you to commit yourself to pray. Is that difficult? Okay, don't come to Mecca. Just pray. But if you are a courageous believer and the Holy Spirit is moving you now to go to Mecca, Saudi Arabia, if you are that one person, please come to our website and sign up. Our brother there would like to receive you. And many of our brothers and sisters would like to worship with you. Our website is translated to 40 languages, so we don't want to miss anybody. All ages and anybody who is above 18, of course, is more than welcome to come to Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Next. So, church, are you ready for C3 Church of Mecca? Come on, I don't hear amen here or hallelujah. No? Well, let me close in prayers. Heavenly Father, we give ourselves in your service here today. We love you, Lord. We adore you. We worship you. You are the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, I pray that you would stir up the hearts of the believers in this room, Lord, that they would begin to pray for the lost around Tauranga and around New Zealand. Lord, I pray that they will move and share the good news with those who truly need it. Lord, I pray that you will send them to the ends of the earth and they will be your witnesses. Lord, I just pray that those who are in the fence of should I go, not go, that you will move them right now to say yes and amen to Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I also pray that those who are already committed to go, that you will provide resources, that you will strengthen them, that any obstacle on their way that will be removed at the hands of Satan who is trying to hinder those who want to go and serve your kingdom, that will be shut down, that will be bound. Holy Spirit, apply all those things. In Jesus' sweet name, I ask and pray. Amen.